Welcome back to AttorneyBusters.com. A little bit of trench coat music coming into the show. Back for the last half hour. Yeah, let's get our trench coats on. This is KRLA 870 AM, the home to Philip Marlowe, Sam Spade, and now, do we dare, Gene Forte of AttorneyBusters.com. Just a little bit of humor on a Sunday afternoon. All right, let's go right into a story regarding Mr. Stephen Magritz, a man back in Wisconsin that is in jail right now because he had a grievance regarding his allegations that a county attorney by the name of Mr. Dennis Keneally had removed clerk of court files from the court's offices back in Wisconsin, which caused that county attorney to take a default judgment in a foreclosure proceedings against Mr. Magritz's property, which was worth about $600,000. But instead of selling the property, they decided to turn it into a park. What Mr. Magritz did was he was trying to get the townspeople to address what he considered was this crime committed by this attorney. Now, I'm going to be playing for you very rapid fire a number of clips of phone conversations that I have had with individuals in this Osage County area in Wisconsin and an investigation that I began in trying to get an investigation begun of this Mr. Dennis Keneally, who admitted to me in telephone calls that he did remove the clerk of court files. The first clip we're going to be hearing is Stephen A. Magritz in an interview that I did with him from his jail cell in Dane County about what he thinks happened with these files out in Wisconsin. Files weren't there, were they?
No, they weren't.
And they were over where?
Dennis Keneally's office, which was downtown from Fort Washington, which is about 2 miles from the court.
Well, what I did was I contacted this Mr. Dennis Keneally, and I asked him some questions.
He also stated that he had gone to the clerk of the court, right? He was informed, he said he had some witnesses with him, that the files were not there at the court clerk's office, but they were at your office.
No, the files have always been at the clerk's office. What the clerk of court does is when you get some of these papers that are just massively incomprehensible, they will send them over or ask me over to say, what do we even do with this? Do you understand what it is?
All right.
And I'll just say, well, this is what I think it is, this is what I don't know what it is, put it wherever you file. It's in miscellaneous or whatever file. So no, they are never kept here and were never kept here. If anything, they were sent down to me to look at to say, what is this, and back within a day or so. So no, we don't keep any of those files.
Did you?
We have copies.
You have copies of them, but you never had the physical files inside your office?
Not that I know of. I mean, if Jeff sent one over here, it was to look at. He may have sent one down. I review as many as I can, and often it's like I go to their office, sometimes they'll send it here, and then I send it right back. So
now,
it came here, it passed through, it was never kept here.
So we have Mr. Keneally telling us, no, the documents are never here, the files are never here, but when they are here, well, they only are here for a day or so, and if they did get over here, and I'm not saying they did, but I'm not saying they didn't, but if they did, they only passed through for a day or so, so I believe we have Mr. Keneally is telling us that those documents were over at his office. What Mr. Magritz does is he tries to push forward to have this crime addressed. This is Mr. Magritz.
Well, basically, I feel the way I put it in that affidavit of probable cause, that I'm a victim and a witness of crime. Well, anytime you tamper with government documents and conceal government documents from the proper authorities, you're dealing with some what I would call criminal activity.
You believe that Mr. Keneally took court files from the court, and those court files that he took out from the court were the documents that would have shown that you made a claim on that property.
That's correct.
Let me bring you to the next conversation that I had with Mr. Roy Corti, the Assistant Deputy Attorney General over in Wisconsin, and he is up to his proverbial eyeballs in this deal. So therefore, in trying to go to him to tell him about these problems that Mr. Magritz has had with these county attorneys is a huge waste of time. Let me show you what Mr. Corti had to say when I asked him, what about this issue about Mr. Magritz saying that this county attorney had taken these files out of the court clerk's offices and caused this default to take place against him? Wouldn't you do something about that? Let's listen to what Mr. Corti has to say.
How a court clerk could allow those files to go to Mr. Keneally. If that did take place, wouldn't that be something that would concern you and the Attorney General's office?
Not necessarily, no.
Not necessarily, no. I wanted to find out what more Mr. Corte had to say as to why it wouldn't be of interest to the Attorney General's office. It's a crime, for God's sakes. It's a crime about a county attorney, a public official. Maybe Mr. Corte should take some lessons from this Mr. Christopher Christie, the U.S. attorney out in New Jersey. Let's find out what more Mr. Corte had to say about this issue, about these files being missing and why it was okay.
If clerk court files are going to the corporate counsel, Mr. Keneally, the opposing counsel against this gentleman, Mr. Magritz, even if he's bringing down a stack of papers, if they're stamping those things received, or if we're putting them on a docket sheet, but then not having them in the file, it doesn't seem appropriate, does it? If I was involved in a litigation and I went down and I filed documents at the court clerk's office and that court clerk took those files and gave it to the opposing counsel...
Well, I have no information that
happened.
Were then not filed, okay, number one. Number two, I guess, not to be flippant, but that does not give Mr. Magritz a right to violate the law. It doesn't give him a right to file phony liens against people. It doesn't give him a right to walk up to somebody and punch him in the face. Okay? He has made that choice, and he does not then get to choose to violate the law if he thinks he's somehow been harmed. But I'm not aware that documents were then concealed, withheld, not filed. I mean, you know, Mr. Magritz has made a number of very vague, obtuse statements in regards to documents. The documents that I've seen that I have reviewed from the court file, you know, considering Mr. Magritz did not participate in that proceeding, would not have had any impact whatsoever on the legal proceeding against him in regards to his property.
Well, let me see if I can talk a little bit mealy life like Mr. Corte. Mr. Corte says, essentially, you know, just because Mr. Magritz has this happen to him, it doesn't give him the right to, punch somebody in the face. And essentially, I, Mr. Corte, I think if you were to see me physically, I look a little bit like a long-necked ostrich. And what I practice doing is I basically put my head down inside the sand so I cannot see any of these accusations or look into these any accusations of a Mr. Magritz. Doesn't that make you basically want to just throw up and just, you know, talk about wanting to punch somebody in the face? All right, well, okay, so this is Mr. Corte now. Let me go ahead and find what kind of proof did Mr. Magritz have that he actually sent these documents to the clerk of court and they were received by them? You have a green card stamped. It was a return receipt showing the documents that you had filed or sent to be filed at the court clerk's office had been received by them, but it was not put on their docket sheet.
Right, we have the green card because it was sent registered return receipt. It was also sent by way of certificate of mailing, which is what you can use. Actually, it's better than a green card in a court. And we also have certified copies of the documents from the court once they mysteriously reappeared in the file.
Mr. Magritz has a receipt for the document that was sent there to the clerk of the court. It was stamped. It was received by them. This document disappears. But then after this foreclosure proceeding takes place and he loses his property and he then tries to draw all this attention to what's happened here, well, this document suddenly reappears and gets put inside the right spot inside the files. But that did not help Mr. Magritz. So I started placing phone calls to the clerk of courts and to the DA's office out there and to the various supervisors. The runaround that I got eventually led to be a point where the district attorney's office out there said that if I continued to call them, they'd have to say it was harassment.
We're going to have to say it's phone harassment.
Now you're saying there's phone harassment because I'm getting the runaround and I have
right,
every
call. Anonymous call now, sir.
I have every call recorded.
And I got to say, I only contacted the DA's office a total of 4 times across almost 2 months, and each time I got a runaround saying to contact somebody else. But let me go through calls I made to the clerk of the court, starting on January the 14th.
He's not in the office right at this time. Can I take a phone number and he could call you back?
Sure.
The person that's not in the office is a man by the name of Jeff Schmidt, the clerk of the court, the individual that let files go out to Dennis Keneally, the corporate counsel, that should have not left the court clerk's offices. So I was calling for this Mr. Jeff Schmidt starting on January the 14th.
It is not permissible for an attorney to remove the clerk files from the court in your area, is it?
No,
It is not. In other words, none of those files can leave the courthouse no matter what, right?
That's right.
All right. And that would also be, Mr. Keneally would not be allowed to remove those court files either, correct?
That you'd have to speak to Mr. Schmidt about.
That was one of the clerks at the court clerk's office, but she said I have to talk to Mr. Schmidt to see if Mr. Keneally could remove those documents from there. Well, first of all, he can't. Let me tell you that. Let me go ahead and give you the next message that I now leave on January 16th, 2 days later after the first message to this Mr. Schmidt. This is with Carol again.
Hi, Carol. You and I, think, spoke the other day.
Yeah.
Would you...
I said he returned the call already, but...
No, he didn't.
Okay.
Let me give you the information again, please.
Okay.
All right, so now Mr. Schmidt is not inside the office again, but Carol thought he'd given me a call. Simultaneously, what I'm doing now is I'm also contacting Mr. Sandy Gus Wirth, who is the chairperson of the County Board of Supervisors, trying to get through to him to ask him some questions about this, because Mr. Wirth is the boss of Mr. Dennis Keneally.
Is Mr. Wirth available now?
No, he's not. He is out of the office and will be out of the office for the duration of the day.
Well, that was about my second call or third call to Mr. Wirth's office. I finally got a call back, actually, from Mr. Wirth that evening. Now, this was the evening of January the 16th. On January the 17th, when Mr. Magritz was about ready to be sentenced to 70 years in prison for what they called criminal slander of title. When he had his property, he believed, stolen from him by these county officials, by this maneuver of this Mr. Keneally removing a court clerk file and removing his answer to the complaint, he tried to get these issues addressed. And when he could not get them addressed from the County Board of Supervisors, he told them, if you're not paying attention to these things, then I'm going to be filing liens against you individuals and holding you accountable. That is what Mr. Magritz has done. And when he did that, these officials were able to get the Attorney General's Office, the USA Patriot Task Force that was formed with the Attorney General's Office in Wisconsin, to have this man arrested. Mr. Wirth contacted me back on the evening of January 16th prior to the sentencing the next day of Mr. Magritz. And let me show you what he said about turning this piece of property of Mr. Magritz's into a park. Mr. Wirth tended to have a change of heart.
Well, I understand that from all the articles I've read, that it's been determined that you were not going to sell the property and the county was going to turn it into a park.
It's adjacent. It's contiguous to one of our parks. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think that the county needs additional parkland. I think that if Mr. Magritz or anybody that had claim to that property would pay the taxes on it and come in and negotiate out, I would think that the property would go back.
Oh, so Mr. Wirth now says, well, gee, maybe we can give that property back to him. The only problem is they have another issue. They've got this poor man in jail. What is this county going to do about this? Wait till you hear the rest of these clips. This stinks. Let me show you another call to the clerk of court's offices on January 22nd. Remember, the last time I contacted him was somewhere around January the 14th.
You do not allow the court clerk files to leave the court clerk offices, do you?
Not to my knowledge, but I don't know if there are special arrangements made regarding that.
Would Mr. Keneally be able to have special arrangements to take court clerk files out of there?
I don't know for sure, sir.
Have you ever arranged that to have happen?
Personally, no, not myself.
Do you know?
I don't know if it has happened. You would need to talk to Jeff regarding that. He is the clerk of courts.
Okay. Well, look, tell Jeffrey I certainly would appreciate the phone call back.
Okay, so now it keeps on going back to Jeffrey again. So what do I do on January 23rd? I then follow up with another phone call.
And I'm trying to get through again to Jeffrey Schmidt.
He's gone to lunch.
Well, he's gone to lunch. Well, what I then did was I followed up again later on that afternoon after lunch.
He's been in lots of meetings, I'll tell you that much right now. And he's gone to lunch right now, but I'll give him the phone.
I hope it's not because he doesn't want to talk to me or something.
No, he's just busy.
Let's go on to January 24th now.
Hi, Jeffrey Schmidt, please.
Who's calling, please?
Gene 40.
He's in a meeting right now. May I take a message, please?
Man does an awful lot of meetings, doesn't he? But what we'll do is we'll call back a little bit later on, and we'll try it again.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. He tried to get back to you at that phone number the other day?
Yes.
It was disconnected.
What phone number, which is the same numbers we've always had, what number was this?
I wrote it down, and he tried calling back within the following hour, and he said it was disconnected.
Well, that's incorrect. It's the same number I'm calling from right now.
Boy, talk about the dog eating your homework. Okay, so now I wait 3 days. I wait till the 27th of January.
Click of course.
Hi, I'm calling for Jeffrey Schmidt, please.
And who's calling?
Gene 40.
He's not available. He's in a meeting.
Is this Carol?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm getting the distinct impression that Mr. Schmidt doesn't want to talk to me.
You can take the instinctive impression whenever you want to do it, but he is in a meeting and he's not trying to avoid you.
Okay, Carol. Now, that's on the 27th. What I do is I wait a few more days again till the 30th.
Clerk of Court.
Hi, is this Carol?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Carol. This is Gene 40 calling from attorneybusters.com.
Hi.
Hi. Is Jeffrey Schmidt available?
No, he's not. He's out for this afternoon.
Okay. Would you leave another message for him, please?
He said he wouldn't return the calls.
Okay, so finally after about 3 weeks, he's now said he's not going to return my calls.
Okay.
Did he say why?
No. He just told me to tell you that.
Okay, so poor Carol. Don't you feel bad for her? But let's now go on to me asking Carol, well, who is Jeff's boss?
Who is Jeffrey Schmidt's immediate supervisor or boss?
He's elected official.
So who would be his boss then?
The whole county.
Okay, the whole county, but is there one person that's in charge of a county?
No, there is not.
Would Mr. Worth be in charge of that?
You could try him.
So now we're back to contacting Mr. Worth again. Now from January 30th until February 3rd, we now find out that Mr. Schmidt, he wasn't really avoiding my calls. He simply just didn't want to talk to me. Let's hear what now happens when I contact the DA's office.
I think you said to contact, you want me to contact Mr. Worth?
Yes.
To have him prosecute a criminal investigation against Mr. Keneally. And
yes.
This is what Mrs. Williams is saying I should do.
This is what the secretary is telling me at the DA's office. I got to contact Mr. Worth to have Mr. Worth prosecute Mr. Keneally for some type of criminal activity. So here goes the message back to Mr. Worth. Just 3 minutes after I make that phone call to the DA's, they said, contact Worth. All right, I'll contact Worth.
Requesting an investigation against Mr. Dennis Keneally, the Osaki County Corporate Counsel. I've been told that I should contact you about initiating that complaint and process.
Phone call back, Mr. Worth.
Well, I mean, I'm not an attorney by any means, nor can I prosecute anybody in my capacity. I'm a part-time elected official and heavy on the part-time.
So Mr. Worth is saying, no, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm part-time. Let's see what else Mr. Worth had to tell me.
Correct. He does report to me,
Keneally,
so to speak, as an elected official. So they could be correct in that assumption. If it has to do with the way he implements his job. However, if he breaks the law, it has to do with whoever enforces the law, which is not me, Mr. 40. I'd love to because I'd immune myself.
There's a new thought for you from a public official. Well, I'll immune myself. Hey, can I do that? Sure you can. Let's look to the old Garden State. What do they say? In defense of a Garden State, corruption is no greater there in New Jersey than it is in anywhere else, like in Wisconsin. But let me go back to another message with Mr. Worth.
I'm starting to feel a little bit like a tethered tennis ball going back and forth, but I'm back at your doorstep again.
I'm back at his doorstep again. Let me go ahead and play a message that I finally got through to Mr. Schmidt.
How can I help you?
Who am I speaking to?
This is Jeff Schmidt.
Oh, Mr. Schmidt. This is Gene 40 calling from attorneybusters.com, the radio program out in Los Angeles. I was asking if someone came into your offices, the clerk of court offices, and removed the court files from there, if I was to go there, or an attorney was to go there, and take those files and walk out of that building, who would you call to report that to, if that was to happen?
Building security, but the chances of that are happening are slim to none.
All right.
What happened, we would call building security.
What law would that person be breaking, removing those files from your offices?
I'm not a lawyer. I can't tell you what law he'd be breaking.
Well, you're in charge of the clerk of court. I suppose
that's what we have attorneys for, is to do the charges. I would call and report a theft.
Mr. Makers has said that he went there to look at his files at one time. He had witnesses with him. And when he went there and asked to look at the file, when you looked in the file, you did not find or see the answer to the complaint that Mr. Makers had sent to you that had been stamped received by your offices. He said that at that time that you picked up the phone and you called Mr. Dennis Keneally and asked him if he had the answer in the files over there at his offices. Is that what took place?
That's absolutely correct. I've testified in court to that, and it is because of all the nonsense paperwork that we get from Mr. Magritz. There was no reference to a case number on there. It was misfiled with another file and has since been returned.
But that was the answer to his complaint.
I'm going to refer you to Dennis Keneally. He's our attorney. It was not a legal answer. We don't have to accept anything that isn't to form. Please do not call my office anymore. We are not accepting your calls. Thank you. Have a good day.
Excuse me, may I ask?
What a friendly type of a chap. And I got to tell you also that the only reason why Schmidt got on the phone there was because I had called up and I was talking to another person at the clerk of court's offices. And when she decided it was just getting too hot for her to be able to handle, all of a sudden, Jeff Schmidt comes on. And what does he do? He verifies that those documents and those files did leave his office. Well, what I then do is I decided to call up Mr. Keneally himself. This is a message I left for him.
Mr. Keneally, I know that in our conversation that you and I had before is that you did state that the clerk of court files were over at your offices. And now Mr. Schmidt today has also stated that apparently they were also, but we need to speak about that. If you do not wish to do an interview, I can understand. However, I am requesting, though, that you tell me, who do I report an activity of clerk of court files being removed from the clerk of court offices? If you did do that, I want to know from you, who do I report this activity to? And also, would you please tell me what type of a offense or crime that is?
An hour later, I get a message from Seamus Worth.
Mr. Forty, my name is Gus Worth. I'm returning your call. I'm the chairman of the Ozaukee County Board. Regarding your investigation or proposed investigation, I have looked into the Dennis Keneally and having files outside of the clerk of courts. This did not happen. He had a copy of the files, but he did not have the original files. The files were available for Mr. Magritz, as he did state. It was one document that was put into his claims file, which is what we thought it was for. But the files have never left. I did investigate it, and I believe that this shall close your inquiry.
Well, I don't know what that Mr. Worth has his trench coat on for, but apparently is not to go ahead and conduct a real investigation. In other words, what Mr. Worth just said he did, he apparently contacted Mr. Keneally and Mr. Jeff Schmidt and said, "Say, fellas, what did you guys do with this document?" And Keneally looks at him and Schmidt looks at him and said, those were copies, right? Wink, wink. They were copies, wink, wink, wink. No, they're not copies, because right from the telephone conversations that I have, if Jeff Schmidt had to call up Dennis Keneally to get a copy of the file that Mr. Keneally had over to his office, that means that Mr. Schmidt did not have a copy of it inside of his office. They are not telling the truth. But let me bring you to another point of what Mr. Worth said in this conversation. I found very interesting.
I understand that you did write all the county supervisors. I appreciate that. And I've heard from numerous ones of them. And I certainly believe that you have their phone numbers, and you may wish to call them also.
I have not contacted any other county supervisors. I have not written any letters to any other county supervisors. I have not made phone calls to any other county supervisors. So where is Mr. Worth coming up with this type of information? This is the same type of thing that Mr. Keneally, that's Dennis Keneally, started to work on Mr. Magritte's to get the townspeople in an uproar to have this man put in jail because he was terrorizing county officials by trying to hold them accountable for their crimes of stealing his property. That Mr. Roy Corte of the Attorney General's office says, huh, doesn't give anybody the right to punch somebody in the face, does it? This has been AttorneyBusters.com. This has been Gene 40. Stay tuned next week when we do some more investigations of attorneys. And what did we find out on this week's program? Don't trust attorneys. Do not trust the state agencies that say they investigate them. Had a problem with an attorney? Call us at 888-211-6035 during the week. For the rest of the week, KRLA 870 AM. Thank you very much. We'll see you later. AttorneyBusters.com.